My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt. He represents the Old Dominion's 7th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Budget Committee, and for a couple of decades, he was a professor of economics at the college level. He has joined us several times to talk about the latest twists and turns in the effort of Republicans in Congress to pass a major tax reform and sweeping tax cuts for a large percentage of the American people. That has now been accomplished. The House voted actually twice, but officially on Wednesday morning to make that official. The Senate did so very early Wednesday morning, both along party line votes for the most part. A few Republicans in the House did vote against it. Congressman, first of all, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hey, Greg, great to be on. Thank you.
Well, you and I have talked about what ought to be in this from your perspective and what ought not to be in this from your perspective. In the end, the House and Senate bills had to be merged. You got some things from the House bill. They got some things from the Senate bill. How pleased are you with the final product?
Yeah, I was fairly shocked because up in D.C., usually at the year end, when you go into conference, usually I don't like the outcome, but in this case, I mean, we fixed a lot of the issues. We had some college, you know, student loan interest issue, a graduate student piece. There was a Medicare piece, the small business piece. All of those got major improvements. They kept the charity piece. And so just a lot of the items that were making the news rounds were all good. And then they added the 7 brackets, which made it a little more complex, and so you don't want that. But by rearranging those brackets, they ensure that way more people get a tax cut. And so, you know, the talking points now are a single woman with a child gets over $1,000 back. That's great news. And then a family of 4 with 2 kids, married, making $70,000, that's the typical income in my district, they're getting $2,059 back. And then the corporate rate goes from, you know, 35 down to 21, and it takes place this year, right? In the Senate plan, they were going to lag that a year. And then in conference, we fixed it, so it goes into place. And that's probably the most important piece because you got the stock market on a roar, right? And it's at the 70th, you know, record-breaking high. And every time 2 senators sneezed, the stock market would go down a bit, right? And so making that corporate rate kick in immediately and then immediate expensing on all capital investment is huge. And the real economy underlying the stock market is equally solid. The Fed, you see the Fed is raising rates, right? A quarter point. You couldn't do that before because the underlying economy wasn't strong enough to absorb that. So we're getting rates up to normal. And we're getting back to having a real growth economy. The Democrats on the floor today were just apoplectic on the thing. I mean, I never seen so much emotion and misinformation. You know, we raised the taxes on the middle class and for the rich and all this kind of thing, and they just can't overcome the basic facts that I just laid out. And so I'm optimistic, and I think the kids I taught for 20 years are going to go out and they're going to have multiple job offers and live the American dream. And that's the goal out of this thing. The kids go out and get good jobs, and that's a virtuous cycle. So I'm proud of it.
We're talking with Virginia Congressman Dave Bratt. And Congressman, let's just dig in a little bit farther since the Democrats made such a big talking point out of taxes allegedly going up on the middle class to pay for tax breaks for the wealthy. If you look at the dollar amount of the tax breaks, obviously those who pay a lot more in taxes are going to get a bigger number of dollars off of their tax bill. But when it comes to percentages and how this lays out, what are the facts?
The easiest way to get at it, I mean, the Democrats are using the corporate and the pass-through S-corps in their data, right? And so, you know, corporations are necessary for economic growth. So Democrats just want to focus on the rich pay a hugely disproportionate amount of tax, way over half, right? I mean, the top 10% pay over half. That's what it comes down to is what you just said. They pay a disproportionate amount. And then the way our marginal system works is everybody pays no tax on the first $24,000 if you're married. Zero tax, right? So the rich get that too. And then they get the low rate up to, you know, $20,000 and then $30,000, $40,000. So there's just no way around it, given the way the tax system works. But I'm not apologetic about it. All of human history made $1,000 a year per capita up until 1776. And so that's what you got to look at, right? What made us the richest country in the world? And the answer is businesses. We got pro-business. And so I'm proud of what we're doing. And then on top of being pro-business and having capitalism, you got to put capital in the hands of your workers, right? The assembly line and Henry Ford, that's what created the middle class. And so you got immediate expensing. We're going to be competitive with the rest of the world. Ireland still has a 13% corporate rate, right? Where ours is going to go down to 21. But, you know, all else equal, I think people are going to prefer to put them back here. And so the left always does the income distribution piece, and you saw the evidence over the last 10 years. You didn't have growth, right? Your growth was at, you know, 1.5 or 2 tops. And now we're at 3%, and the Federal Reserve has us at 4% next quarter. And so, you know, you just look at the data, and that's what I'd have to say in response.
Let's look briefly at some of the other elements that were in this bill that aren't directly related to the tax code, and that includes the repeal of the individual mandate, the green light for energy exploration in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. I believe there is a provision in there that would allow parents to set up 529 accounts to let their children use before college and in private and religious schools and so forth. So in terms of a pro-growth perspective, which of those do you think is the most significant?
Yeah, well, ANWR is great, and then I always forget to add, right? So the left was hitting us last week. They're trying to find what sticks, right? They're throwing stuff at the wall. Last week, the messaging from the left and the mainstream media was they're fantastic concerned with the deficit. And I think that talking point went away because Chuck and Nancy are arguing for increased spending this week in the budget battle. So they knew that would look a little strange if they're arguing about deficits while they're forcing a government shutdown for more spending. And so ANWR is pro-growth, but the major thing we're doing is the deregulation of business in general, financial, crazy EPA regs that keep our farmers from growing. And that in tandem with the tax piece and a positive psychology, which you cannot underestimate. That's what drives businesses, optimism about the future. And you put all that together, and you've just got a totally winning package. And so that's the pro-growth part.
Talk a little bit, if you can, about some of the rhetoric we've seen from the left. Some of it from lawmakers, but a lot more of it, I guess, from activists and interest groups and so forth, where they'll look at and accept the math that you guys have done in terms of what an average family of four would get back. You mentioned the single mom getting $1,000 back. And then they'll break it down and say, well, that's not even $100 a month. That breaks down to about $3 a day. Ooh, congratulations on your big tax cut. What does that tell you about how much or how little they understand typical American families?
I think they're grasping. And so, you know, so far I've been polite, but they had their own tax plan that got 107 votes in the Progressive Caucus. It got more votes than anything else. Their plan was to increase taxes by $10 trillion. Increase spending by $11 trillion with more debt and deficit than our plan. And so you can be critical, but, you know, the way science progresses or economic science, if you have a hypothesis and you want to reject it, you have to offer a better hypothesis. And they don't have that, right? So their tax plan, if you raise taxes $10 trillion, you would go into a massive recession next year, period, end of sentence. And so you compare, they're making fun of giving back money to lower income folks, which I thought they would applaud, and then you know, over $1,000 a year for a family, or $2,000 for a family with a few. I mean, that's some big bucks. That pays for a lot of stuff families don't currently have, and so that's talking points. But their plan would have halted the economy, and that would decimate the poor. Right, the poor always get hit the hardest in a slowdown, and you know, people say Republicans are cronies or whatever. I'm one of the few guys that got a pay raise when I went to Congress, right? I was a liberal arts professor. It's not like I'm out defending the rich. I taught third world economic development, sub-Saharan African economic development. I worked at the World Bank, at grad school up at American here at D.C. because I cared about the poorest people in the world. And I know what works there. The same thing that works here. Chinese and the Indians are doing great now. They're feeding 2.5 billion people. 20 years ago, when I started teaching, they were not. But now they've gone free market, and they're having fantastic success. And so the middle class, I think, are going to see. The evidence is going to come in February with their paychecks. The word's going to get out, and we're going to have some you know, great celebrations from here to there as well.
Two very quick questions, sir. I know your time is precious. First of all, how soon do you think we'll see the economic impact of this when it kicks in February? Will it be months? Will it be a year or two? What do you expect?
Yeah, I think you're already seeing it. I think it's baked in the cake. And I'm joking. If two senators sneezed a week ago, the market would go down, right? So the market was assuming, and they know the probability of passage was high. And so it's been baked in the cake for months. And so it's more if you just keep what we have going, right? If you keep 3% growth, verging on 4% growth next quarter, the average GDP growth rate for the past, you know, half century has been 3.5%. And so the left was consigned. Obama said, yeah, you know, the U.S. is not that exceptional. You know, let's just be like Europe and order wine and cheese and, you know, grow at 1%. And let's not be exceptional. And the American people are exceptional. And I think they reject that narrative, and you're seeing it. The proof's in the pudding. And so it's baked in the cake. If you keep doing what we're doing, also, they say, can that tax package pay for itself? You're going to put $1.5 trillion in deficit on our kids' backs? Absolutely false. You can acknowledge that the tax bill itself, right, and the 30 Chicago economists were smart, said it may not pay for itself. But the economy will, right? So if you put the tax package together with capital incentives and lower rates and less regulation, we'll pay. All you got to do is come up with $150 billion a year in growth, and we're going to blow by that with ease. And so most of the objections are pretty easily handled.
Finally, sir, a lot of folks obviously would agree with you that the government shouldn't be able to force people to buy something, in this case, health insurance, and that's why a lot of people supported the repeal of the individual mandate. The conventional wisdom on the cost now, though, is that by not forcing these young, healthy people to buy these expensive plans, it'll raise the cost for other people. So, A, is that correct? And B, what if it is correct, what do you need to do in the next session to help bring those costs down?
There's some truth in that. If you run a centralized system, federally run, that will happen. And that's why costs are going through the roof, because there's no price competition. There's no shopping around you can do. You have to buy a silver or a gold plan. Charlottesville, right next to me, has the highest in the country, and that's $39,000 for a family of four before you get to access your health insurance. So the left says Obamacare is great. It covers everything. And that is true, right? The regulations are Obamacare. And if you don't get rid of the regulations, you don't get rid of Obamacare. But those regulations are adding up to $39,000 for a family that only makes $70,000. And so it's completely unsustainable, and you got to crack that open. So they can say, well, yeah, there's cost shifting and whatever. But until you solve the fundamental problem of getting premiums down, and that's a hard one to crack, I'll admit to that one. But that's what we have to find a major political backbone to solve that one.
Congressman, it's been a long road, and we'll let you go celebrate now. I know you're probably headed to the White House if you're not there already. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Greg. Thank you very much.
Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Brandt represents the Commonwealth 7th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.